Welcome to this week's Take 15. Now that we've discussed some of the history and the meaning behind the recitation of the Mourner's Kaddish, we are ready to tackle an issue that I raised way back when, and that I promised that I would get to in this series, and that's the issue of women saying the Mourner's Kaddish after losing a loved one. This is by far not a simple topic and is a very sensitive one on so many levels. My intention in this recording is not to give a psak or a definitive answer, but to bring to light some of the important sources and discussions surrounding this topic. If you'd like to speak to me one-on-one about this particular question and what my psak would be, you're more than welcome to speak to me about that. Let's start with some anecdotal history. You would think that the idea of women saying Kaddish might be a very modern idea that's only been uncovered maybe today or in the last couple of generations. But what we will see is that it was not uncommon in our history either. Rabbi Ezra Bick, who's a Rebbe in Yeshivat Har Etzion in Israel, Gush, recounts a conversation that he had with Rabbi Soloveitchik in which he asked him about women saying Kaddish, and Rabbi Soloveitchik said that he remembered back in Europe being in Vilna, holy city of Vilna, at what's called the Gaon's Klois, a shul that the Gra, or the Vilna Gaon, had established, in which people continued to daven even after his death. 150 years later, after his death, the Rav recounts being there in Vilna and seeing a woman come into the back of the shul after Maariv and say Kaddish. And obviously, no one kicked her out, and no one screamed, and no one yelled, and no one stopped the practice. Another famous anecdote from a rabbi in Brooklyn, who was raised in Europe, actually also in Vilna, and he studied in the famous Mir Yeshiva. He said that when he had a cousin of his that died, leaving only daughters behind and no sons, they asked the shaila of Rav Chaim Ozer Grzinski. Chaim Ozer was probably one of the most preeminent poskim in pre-war Europe. He was the most respected rabbinic figure. He had shailas from day to night and day to night from all across the continent and all across the world coming to him because of his preeminence. And according to this story of the rabbi in Brooklyn, Reb Chaim Ozer was asked by this family where there was no sons if the woman, the daughters, could say Kaddish. And indeed, he said that they could say Kaddish daily in the shul. This story is recorded in Rabbi Joel B. Wolowski's book, Women in Jewish Law and Modernity. There are similar stories that have been told as well about the Chafetz Chaim, who also permitted women in his shul in Radin to say Kaddish, but those I do not have sources for or direct stories from people who heard it, but that's just hearsay. Also, Professor Yaffa Eliach, who's famous for writing her book, Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust, who's done a lot of extensive research about the history of the Holocaust in various towns in Europe, including the town of Ishishak. Her famous book is about that town. And she says that in that town, one anecdote in her book, is that there was the dying of the city had died, and he left only, the dayan of the city had died, and his sons had been out of town, and the daughter of the dayan said Kaddish, and as she was saying Kaddish until her brothers returned, she noted that there was another girl, an 18-year-old girl in the town who had also lost the parent, who was saying Kaddish at the very same time. Lastly, one more anecdote. Rev Moshe Feinstein, who was probably our preeminent posek of this generation in America, in a tshuva about the requirements for mechitzas in various kind of unusual circumstances, he mentions in passing the history of women saying Kaddish in shuls, without addressing it head-on, without saying it's okay or not okay, but he just addresses it in passing. He was asked if it's required to put up a mechitza in various temporary davening situations where there might be a couple of women around, such as perhaps in a shiva house or something, where if a woman walks into the back of the room, do you have to put up a mechitza or not? He was asked that question. And he says in the midst of his tshuva, V'hine, bechol hadorot nahagu, in all the previous generations of Jews, it was always the custom, Shelifamim hayta nichneset isha. Sometimes there would be a woman, aniya, poor woman, who would come lebeit hamidrash lekabel tzedakah. A woman would come into the beis medrash in the time that they were davening to collect tzedakah. Oh, avela lomar kaddish. Or a female mourner who came into the shuls, into the beis medrash, to say kaddish. And Rav Moshe goes on to discuss the halacha of his particular shaila, but he just mentions that in passing. He doesn't say anything about it, he doesn't say it was usher, he's just telling us that historically speaking, this is something women did. Fascinating. All of these stories and little anecdotes show that this was done, and that this was a custom, or it was a thing that was done by many people who were of the highest caliber, who were in the presence of tremendous gedolim, who were in towns with very holy Jews all over Europe. This is not a modern American phenomenon, but a phenomenon of old. How common was it? That's unclear from all these stories. These are isolated stories and incidents. It may not have been so common. It may have been more common than we think, but that's still unclear. But all of these stories are just about places where it happened to have been done. They're stories and anecdotes in passing, in the context of other issues, where we see that it was just something that happened. And also, they're only within the last 100 years or so. However, we also have shutim. We have responsa literature from as early as the 1600s of cases where women asked to say Kaddish for a parent that had died. Or a parent, before their death, asked for their daughters to say Kaddish upon their demise. And the reason why this was such a common shaila, why this shaila was asked already back in the 1600s, and it was not limited to our modern period, in which we have a lot of questions about women's issues and women's halacha and women's participation in synagogue ritual life. The reason it was mentioned all the way back in the 1600s numerous times is quite obvious. There have always been families with no sons. And these families leaving daughters behind have always wondered how to honor their deceased parent if there's no male to go and daven for the Amid and say Kaddish. And they always wondered how to do the right thing for their deceased parent. So it's no wonder that this Shaila had been asked way before the period of women's innovations. In the 1600s, Rabbi Yair Chaim Bachrach, one of the greatest scholars of the 17th century, one of the most respected poskim of the 17th century, was living in Worms in the Rhineland in today's Germany, and was asked about an incident that occurred in Amsterdam at the time. He was asked to comment on this particular incident. What he writes in his tshuva, in his shoot called Chavos Yair, Simon Reish Chaf Beis, he writes that in Amsterdam someone died, a wealthy man died, without leaving any sons behind, he only had daughters. And this rich man, before his death, asked 10 men, to learn in his home for 1 year to study Torah in his memory, and that after every day after their studying of Torah, they should have the daughters of this man come in and say Kaddish in the house. And the Chavos Yair points out that none of the rabbis or community leaders in Amsterdam opposed this practice. And at first, the Chavos Yair analyzes this practice and comes out in support, saying, number one, as we've seen already in all of these lectures, and it's a great tshuva because it really brings together all the issues we've been studying over the last 11 or 12 sessions of this series. First, the Chavos Yair says, the recitation of Kaddish is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, of sanctifying God's name, as we've already learned. By someone standing up and reciting Kaddish, praising God's name, not only him praising or her praising God's name, but encouraging the congregation to respond, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mavora, everybody should respond how great God's name is obviously fulfillment of this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And lo and behold, both men and women are obligated in this mitzvah. So why not allow a woman to say Kaddish and fulfill this great mitzvah of sanctifying God's name? Also, the Chavos Yair points out that in this particular situation in Amsterdam, there's no issue of perhaps saying Kaddish, which is a Davar Shebekedusha, something that requires a minyan, without a minyan present. Because obviously there was 10 men learning in the house, it's just that there was an additional woman. It's not that she was one of the 10, but there was an additional woman coming in to a minyan of 10 men to recite this particular prayer. Number 3. Based on everything we've learned in this series, we know the famous story which originates the practice of mourners saying Kaddish for their parents is the story of Rabbi Akiva encountering the dead man in the cemetery. The whole idea of being able in this world to contribute to the lot, to the schus, to the merit, to the mitzvah of someone who's deceased in the afterlife, because their children continue to do mitzvot in this particular world. So the story happens to be about a son doing something for his deceased father. But according to the Chavos Yair, and according to our logic, it would be obvious that if the person left behind a daughter, and the daughter continues to do mitzvot, or continues to daven, or in this case continues to say Kaddish, obviously that would be a tremendous chus for the parent as well. The fact that a parent's deeds can continue because of the people they influenced in this world is not limited to the males that they influenced, but would include the women as well, the daughters as well. However, after saying all of that, and saying that fundamentally there's nothing wrong with the woman saying Kaddish, the Chavos Yair concludes that at least in his community, in his time, he says, "Mikomakom yesh lachush al yedei kach yichlishu koach haminhagim shel bnei Yisrael." He says, "We are afraid to support this practice because it might unravel the customs or community standards of the Jewish people." And he goes on to describe, in very poetic terms, that it would be like every person building his own altar, building his own place of worship, based on his own logic. And it's very interesting because it's unclear exactly what the Chavos Yair is saying. On the one hand, we could claim perhaps that the Chavos Yair was just staying a standard line, telling us that women shouldn't start to say Kaddish because it's not the proper custom, it's not what we do, it's not what historically the Jewish people have done. Or, according to Rabbi Barry Freundel in his brand new book, which is Why We Pray, What We Pray, he suggests the following analysis of the Chavos Yair. Because the Chavos Yair brings in this image of the Bama, of everyone building a Bama for themselves, and because the whole nature of the tshuva of the Chavos Yair was dealing with a situation in which there was a private minyan in someone's house where the women were saying Kaddish, then perhaps what the Chavos Yair was worried about was not the fact that we were breaking with tradition, but the fact that he was worried about what we call like breakaway minyanim, or pop-up minyanim. He says, if everybody takes this upon themselves to do these practices, who knows what's going to happen to the community standards, to the community customs that we have here. Every person's going to build a shul for themselves and say, I want to say Kaddish in this place. I want to say Kaddish in that place. What's going to happen then to the fabric of our community? So, number one, the plainest reading of the Chavos Yair, you can see that fundamentally he has no opposition, halachic terms, to women saying Kaddish. He perhaps has an opposition in communal terms to a woman saying Kaddish, or perhaps not. Perhaps he was only saying it because he was worried about breakaway minyanim, because this was a situation where women were saying Kaddish in a separate place, in a separate home. But perhaps in a community setting where everyone said Kaddish together in one place, he wouldn't be opposed to it. So it's unclear exactly what the conclusion is of the Chavos Yair, but what's important about him is his analysis of the halachic issues involved. And you should note that he doesn't raise any issue of kolisha, he doesn't raise any issue of tznias, he doesn't raise any halachic issues about the woman saying Kaddish. It's purely a communal concern, however you want to read that into the Chavos Yair. We have a tremendous more amount of material to cover on this topic. Very fascinating material of response to literature that dates up until our very time. And I'd like to leave that for next week. So I bid you a great week, and we will continue this topic next time.